You're listening to the Hope United podcast, creating an atmosphere of worship, family, and discipleship. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit hopeunited.church.
You know, it's important that as believers that we're consistent. We live in a culture that people start things and they quit. They start and then they quit. And I'm not saying that our culture is a culture of quitters. I'm just saying we start things and we quit things oftentimes. But it's an important thing for us to grab hold of, because the Word of God says in Matthew 24:13 that the one who endures to the end will be saved. For believers, there's an importance on endurance, on staying consistent, on staying faithful in what God gives you to do. And I believe the body of Christ really needs that in this day and age. We need a tenacious faith. Say it with me one time. Tenacious faith. Tenacious faith. Not just kind of a casual faith, not just kind of a haphazard faith, but a tenacious faith. And Matthew 11:12, it says, "The violent take it by force." I believe there's certain things that are in your destiny that are locked up until you take them by force. And the people of God need to start going out there and getting what God has promised. It's something very powerful when God spoke to the children of Israel and said, "Hey, I have a promise for you. I have a promised land for you." But it was a totally different thing when Israel acted upon the promise and took possession of their promise. And I want to tell you that today. I believe that's something very important for you to get a hold of today. That's something that God is saying to his children, to his sons and daughters today, is take possession of what I've already promised you. Take possession of what I've already said about you. And so we need to be tenacious. Say it one more time with me. Tenacious faith. So I want to speak to you today on the topic of finish what you started. Now, I want you to say this with me, but when you say it, you got to say it like a command. It's not a question. It's not a statement. It's a command. Finish what you started. Look at somebody that you know in their life, they need to finish. Look at them and say, "Finish what you started." You gotta look at somebody. Finish what you started. There's people on the road with you. They're sitting on their dream. They're sitting on what God told them to do. They're sitting on starting up a business. And they need to finish what they started. Amen. Too many times we fall short of what God has called us to do. God has given us great things. God has called us a great people. But sometimes we just need to remember to finish what we started. And so I want to take a look at the life of Joshua, because he was a man that knew how to finish what he started. Actually, there were some things that Moses started that God had to bring in a fresh pair of legs to make sure that the job got done. And so he brought in Joshua, because Joshua had an anointing to close the deal. How many believe you have the anointing to close the deal? God needs a Joshua generation, some people that will stand up and close the deal and pray that prophecy through till it becomes a reality, and walk on the word of God until it becomes that what's actually happening in your life. So God brings in Joshua. And this is powerful, because Joshua has this anointing for completion. I believe this is so profound, because we said at the beginning of this year that this is your best year yet. But to walk into your best year yet, you're going to have to finish what you started. You're going to have an anointing to complete what you've begun. Because that's the way our Heavenly Father is. The Bible says that he finishes what he started. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. So we have to be faithful to complete what God has given us. So let's look at the life of Joshua. And his life, his story begins before the book of Joshua. How many knows that God's working on your story even before you know he's working on your story? So we got to go back to the book of Numbers. We got to jump back a few books so that we can see what God was doing with Joshua. In Numbers 27:18, the Lord replies to Moses. And he says, "Take Joshua, son of Nun, who has the spirit in him, and lay your hands on him. Present him to Eleazar the priest before the whole community, and publicly commission him to lead the people." See, this is where many people are at today. You got the Spirit of God in you, but you need somebody or something to commission you to take action. That's what I'm here today to do, to possibly challenge you to take action on the Spirit of God that's already in you, on the assignment that you know that you're already sitting on. So Joshua, the Lord replies to Moses, "Take Joshua, son of Nun, put your hands on him. The Spirit of God's already on him. You don't have to worry about that part. I already took care of that. But I need somebody that's my earthly representative to commission him to get about his destiny." First, you have to know what you're anointed to do. See, and this is what it's important to be around good leadership. Because Moses, even though Joshua had the Spirit of God on him, Moses anointed him to do his assignment. You see, he wasn't clear on his assignment yet. He was full of the Spirit, but he didn't have his assignment yet. Moses gave him the assignment. You got to know what you're anointed to do. In the student ministry, I love this. They've been talking about having purpose, being a purpose culture, knowing what God has purposed you to do. But you know what? That's a word that goes even beyond the student ministry. We all need to get a hold of that. We need to know what our purpose is in Christ and what our purpose, our assignment is in God. Joshua knew what his purpose was. He was anointed by Moses, and then he understood his purpose. Can I tell you, operate in your assignment if you want to succeed. See, you're not going to succeed if you're walking in somebody else's shoes trying to do it the way that you saw God use somebody else. Or you saw somebody else successful. Somebody else was making a lot of money. And you said, "Let me try to do that." But God didn't call you to do that. You see, Joshua didn't try to be Moses. Joshua had to do Joshua. Joshua needed to be who God had called Joshua to be. And you need to be who God called you to be. You don't need to try to be imitating someone else. It's all right to glean. It's all right to model some things after somebody else that's doing good things in God. But God has given you a specific assignment that's unique to you. The children of Israel didn't need a second Moses. They needed a Joshua. Joshua was handcrafted for that moment. And you are handcrafted for the assignment that God has given you right now. Right now. Not somebody else, not some great person from before, the great person of now. That's you. God's tugging on you and saying, "I have purpose for you." Operate in your assignment if you want to be successful. God's assignment is unique for you. But too many people are trying to do someone else's assignment. Know who you are in God. People of God, sons and daughters of God, know who you are. Know your identity and know your assignment. Know your identity and know your assignment. Be confident in who you are. God doesn't want you living a life without understanding of your assignment. The understanding of your assignment is critical for success. Because life is more than jobs and paychecks. Life is more than possessions and natural accomplishments. Life is the discovery of God and the discovery of His purpose for man. Life is about the discovery or rediscovery of God and the discovery of His purpose for man. And you take that on an individual note and you say, "What is God's purpose for me? How can I discover Him? And how can I discover my purpose in Him?" I love that. Live with understanding. seek to understand who God is and what God has called you to do. And so Joshua knew his assignment. But even when we have assignment, we have challenges. Amen. How many of you have hit some challenges at some point in your life? You knew you were called by God. You knew that you were favored by God. You knew that you were a child of God. But you still had some bumps in the road. How many people have had some bumps in the road? Amen. I don't know about you, but I've had some bumps in the road. I've had some challenges. I've had some battles that I've faced. And so Joshua has one of these battles like this on his way. He's pursuing God. He's being obedient to God. But yet he fights a fight we see here in Joshua 7, if you'll go there with me. Joshua 7, 2. Now they've just won this incredible battle at Jericho. They yelled and the walls came down. There was marching. There was marching. There was some more marching. There was 7 days of marching. And then there was shouting, and the walls came down, and a tremendous victory. So they're on an all-time high. Morale among the troops is off the charts. And then Joshua 7:2, Joshua sent some of his men from Jericho now to spy out the town of Ai, east of Bethel. This is the next town over, near Beth-Aven. When they returned, they told Joshua, there's no need for all of the troops to go up there. It won't be, you won't need more than 2,000 to 3,000 men to attack Ai. Since there are so few of them, don't make all of our people struggle to go up there. So approximately 3,000 warriors were sent, but they were soundly defeated. The men of Ai chased the Israelites from the town gate as far as to the quarries and killed about 36 who were retreating down the slope. The Israelites were paralyzed with fear at the turn of events, and their courage melted away. Joshua and the elders of Israel tore their clothes in dismay and threw dust on their head and bowed their face down to the ground before the ark of the Lord until evening. Then Joshua cried out, O sovereign Lord, why did you lead us across the Jordan River if you were going to let the Amorites kill us? If only we had been content to stay on the other side. So in the process of pursuing God in your purpose, there's going to be moments when you have battles. And some of those battles, you may not win. You may find yourself in pain. You might find yourself weeping. You might find yourself on the floor asking God why. And Joshua was there with the elders of Israel, his top advisors, and they've torn their clothes. They've put dust on their head. They're in repentance. They're laying down prostrate before the Lord the whole rest of the day before the Ark of the Covenant. And they're saying, God, why? They're weeping. Anybody ever ask God why? Joshua and the elders of Israel are asking why. Can I tell you, it's okay to weep, it's okay to question, but it's not okay to quit. It's okay to weep, it's okay to question, but it's not okay to quit. You see, Joshua, he wept, he had some questions, but thank God he didn't stay there, because Joshua had tenacious faith. He would not quit. He was going to seek another way to accomplish his mission. Can I tell you, believers, sometimes God's going to give you a dream. You're going to go at it. You're going to try for it. And you're going to fail. And you need to try another approach. You need to recouple back. And even if you go back and you try again and you miss again, you need to keep going, because it's all right to weep. It's all right to question, but it's not all right to quit. Come on, church. It's all right to weep. It's all right to question, but it's not all right to quit. So he sought God. He sought another way. But he had tenacious faith. How many times do we hit a couple of roadblocks and we shelf our dream? Come on, be honest. Be honest. How many times God gave us something and in that moment it was so clear, it was so crystal. We knew that we knew that we knew God said this to us. And then we hit a couple of potholes, a couple of walls, and we said, you know what? I'm just going to, maybe I'll revisit this later. This is just a little too much for me right now. And so we quit on it. But if we want to accomplish all that God has for us, we have to continue to press towards what God has given us. Something amazing about Joshua was he was a good soldier. He was a good soldier. He learned how to not give up because he was following after Moses, and Moses didn't give up easy. He was a good soldier. Before he ever led, he followed. Can I tell you, if you want to be a great leader, learn how to follow first. Too many people, they're trying to get out there and they're trying to do their own thing and they haven't ever really served. They haven't served. The Bible says if you want God to give you a vineyard of your own, first serve in someone else's vineyard. Scripture. Isn't that what the scripture says? Luke 16:12, another translation. And if you're not faithful with other people's things, why should you be trusted with things of your own? So before Joshua could lead, he had to learn how to follow. You see, and in the following, we actually learn how to lead. He had followed Moses so well that he had learned leadership. And that's what we have to do. We have to be able to plug in and serve where God has given us to serve. There's always serving going on. We serve and then we learn and then we lead. But just because we're leading doesn't mean we're not serving somewhere else. Because God's always in a process of training us and raising us up to a greater place of leadership. So we're always serving, we're always following so we can learn how to lead in a greater way. And so this is what Moses, this is what had happened with Joshua, with Moses. But that's the problem today. Far too often everybody wants to be the chief, or everybody wants to do their individual thing, and nobody wants to work together, and nobody wants to work underneath somebody else. Amen. Nobody wants to serve underneath someone else's vision. Nobody wants to help somebody else reach their dream. Can I tell you, if you want somebody to support you and help you in your dream, you need to get in first and support someone else's dream so that you can sow that, so that you can reap other people supporting your dream. And so Joshua supported Moses. He followed Moses. He sowed good following and he sowed support. So that when he took leadership, do you know what the people said? Whatever you say, we'll do. That's what the book of Joshua says, first chapter. The people said to Joshua, whatever you say, do. As long as the Lord's with you, whatever you say to do, we'll do. And if there's anybody that doesn't do it, we'll kill him. It was pretty strong because, you see, he had sowed so much serving that when it came his time to lead, there was an overflow. There was an overflow of what he needed to lead. Be faithful. Look at somebody say, be faithful. Be a good follower. Good followers make great leaders. Following well is the proving ground for leadership. Following well prepares you for leadership. But here's the interesting thing about Joshua. He never sought out leadership. Other people were seeking leadership. Other people were seeking positions. They were trying to position and politic and try to be the head dog. But Joshua was seeking the Lord. The Bible says that when Moses would go into the tabernacle, that Joshua would go with him, but then Joshua would stay even longer after Moses left the tabernacle because Joshua was seeking the presence of God. And Joshua was seeking God. He was not seeking position. He was not seeking a title. He was not even seeking leadership. He was seeking God. That's the problem oftentimes, is we're seeking the wrong thing, and so we're getting the wrong thing in our lives. If you don't seek the right thing, you're going to get the wrong thing in your life. You're going to cultivate the wrong thing if you're not seeking the right thing. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things are going to be added to you." When we seek first God, doors are going to be open to us. Finances are going to come. Blessings are going to come. Position is going to come. But we have to seek first God. And Joshua, he would go into the tabernacle with Moses, but yet he'd stay a little longer because he wanted to seek God. But now at the same time, there were other people that were seeking a position. There's a story actually in the book of Numbers 16, and it's about Korah. It says, "One day Korah, the son of Izhar, the descendant of Kohath, son of Levi, conspired with Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, from the tribe of Reuben." Aren't you glad that I can say all those names really quick? Y'all impressed? I think that comes from like my background in rap. I was into hip hop when I was younger, so... Some of you guys don't even know that because I hid it away so well. You're not going to find it. You can search YouTube. You will not find it. I've deleted all records. They incited a rebellion against Moses along with 250 other leaders of the community, all prominent members of the assembly. They united, listen, against Moses and Aaron and said, "You've gone too far. The whole community of Israel has been set apart by the Lord, and he's with all of us. What right do you have to act as though you're greater than the rest of the Lord's people?" Let me tell you something. When God brings you into your blessing, don't think that the battles are going to stop. I think sometimes we think, when I arrive, it's going to be all cake. Nobody's going to fight me. Everybody's going to like me. Not going to be any haters anymore. Moses was considered one of the greatest prophets, maybe outside of Jesus, considered the greatest prophet because of how much of the Bible he wrote. And how fundamental and foundational it was. Still, with all of that, plagues of Egypt, the parting of the Red Sea, all the signs, all the revelation, the glory of the Lord is on his face. Still, people would question and combat his leadership. Can I tell you, people are going to combat your leadership. You got to stay faithful. You got to stay consistent. No matter what the people's face looks like, no matter who comes against you, if the Lord is for you, who's going to stand against you? It doesn't mean that people won't stand against you. It just means that their opposition isn't going to last. And that's what the opposition didn't last here with Korah. Make sure that you're seeking the right thing, because Joshua was seeking God. While he was seeking God, Korah and about 250 other people that were prominent wanted to climb the ladder a little bit, wanted to knock Moses down a peg so that they could climb the ladder up a couple of pegs. It's not about seeking leadership and seeking promotion. Should you pray for promotion? Yes. But we seek after God. All promotion comes from God. All elevation comes from God. True authority comes from the presence of God. And that's where Joshua was. While others were jostling and fighting and infighting and politicking for position, he was one man seeking the presence of God. You may be surrounded by people that are politicking in your job, in your business sector. Some people that are fighting, infighting. Everybody's trying to get a one-up on each other. Might be surrounded by 250 of them. You might feel like one person that is seeking the Lord. But if you're seeking the Lord, you're seeking the right thing. Because true authority comes from the presence of God. True authority comes from seeking the right thing. And at the end of the day, Joshua ended up as the leader, and the others ended up just a blip on the history. Just a blip in Israel's history. Just a, oh yeah, there was these guys, 250 guys, they caused a little problem. They rebelled against Moses, and then the earth had to open up, and there's an earthquake, and earth swallowed them up. No big deal. But Joshua, because he spent the time seeking God, God activated his destiny. Other things can't activate your destiny. That's great. Get on YouTube, study some stuff, read some books. That's great. But God is the one that activates your destiny. Don't get me wrong. The Bible says study to show yourself approved. So yeah, you need to put the work in. You need to do the study and you need to do the preparation. But it's God that activates the destiny that he gave in the first place. Ain't nobody can activate the destiny inside of you. But God. And so Joshua, Moses lays his hands. Moses lays his hands on Joshua. Joshua begins to lead. Joshua has an incredible victory. First, the Red Sea, the Jordan River rather, is parted. Or not parted, but it dries up and they're able to walk across on dry land. Then they have a tremendous victory with Jericho. The walls come down. But then they have this defeat. All kinds of problems and challenges can arise when you're following God in your assignment. Joshua saw some problems. He saw some victories. He saw some challenges. But Joshua was a problem solver. Look at somebody say, be a problem solver. Be a problem solver. You know, this is what gets me, because there's two types of people, right? That two categories that I see a lot of times, and there's problem solvers and there's complainers. Amen? You can turn on the news and you can see. And problem solvers are in the minority. Problem solvers and complainers. And one group wants to solve the problem. They're interested in solving the problem. And the other wants to harp on a problem. And I don't know about you, but once I hear the problem and it's well articulated, I'm done with hearing the problem. I want to solve the problem. I want to move from talking about it to solving the problem. Anybody want to solve problems? Joshua had a spirit to close the deal, to solve the problem. When there was a problem at Ai and they lost the battle, they got before the Lord. There was some weeping. There was some questioning. But Joshua went forth out of God's presence and he solved the problem. Fix the problem and move forward. Look at somebody and say, fix the problem and move forward. Leaders are problem solvers, not complainers. Listen, the world doesn't need more complainers. The world is already full of complainers. The church needs to be problem solvers. When Jesus came, he was a solution to a problem in the world. You and I are a solution to a problem in the world. We're not meant to talk about problems. We're meant to fix problems. We're meant to solve problems. The people of God are a solution to a problem that's on the earth. Put your finger in your chest and say, I'm a solution to a problem on the earth. And so when we talk about leadership, leadership is the ability to solve a problem. The people of God should be talking about solutions. Leaders solve. Leaders bring solutions. When we look at all of these major characters in the Bible, if you look at Esther, she brought a solution. You look at Ruth, she was a solution. Gideon, he was a solution to a problem. Samson, Noah, Moses, Joshua, Joshua, in the midst of all that he goes through, he keeps the vision before him. And he keeps the vision before the people. To be consistent in what God has given you, you need to keep the vision in plain view. To be consistent in your assignment, you need to keep the vision in plain view. The vision needs to be clear to you so that when you go through the battle, you remember who you are and you remember what you're assigned to do. The vision needs to be clear before the people. When you lead people, you have to keep putting the vision. Keep putting the vision. Keep putting the vision. One of my main jobs at the church, we get together with the leaders, cast the vision. Cast the vision. Cast the vision. Get up on Sunday, cast the vision. Cast the vision. Who you are in Christ. What hope's assignment is to do. What God has called us to do. Cast the vision. Remember the vision. Keep the vision plain. So when you're going through battles, keep the vision. Keep the vision in your vision. When you go through difficulties with your family, remember your vision. Keep the vision in plain sight. When you lose a battle, keep the vision in plain sight. Whatever comes, to be consistent, to be committed, to be faithful, if we want to say, we must keep the vision in plain sight. Will you stand with me today? Put your hands on your heart. Because this is where it happens. You can know the vision up here, but it's not till it connects with your heart and you say, I don't just know it on a cerebral level. I know it in the depth of my heart. It's on an emotional level that I have committed to be who God has called me to be. I know what I've been assigned to do. That dream that God gave me, I'm not going to sit on it. I'm going to be tenacious in my faith. I'm not going to give up, even if I lose a couple battles. Even when I lose, I know I'm going to win. I'm tenacious. I'm tenacious in what God has given me. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord. Father, for your sons and daughters. God, they not only have an identity in you, God. They have an assignment in you. And just like Joshua, they're going to face some battles. They're going to face some troublemakers. They're going to have some incredible victories. And at times, they may have defeats. But God, I pray that you mark them with the vision that you've given them. Mark them, Father, with the identity that only you can give and the purpose that only you can give us that fills us up with satisfaction. God, only your purpose can satisfy us. Only your assignment can fulfill us. Lord, I thank you, Father, that you would help us finish what we started. God, help us partner with you when you say, He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. God, stir up that anointing to close the deal. Stir up that anointing to finish well.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Be sure to visit hopeunited.church for more exciting content.